most of the kids today, they don't really know, you know. There was a radio, still is, a radio show on KPFA. It's called Over the Edge, without putting your name out there.
A guy doing a thing.
Well, nobody notices that.
Yeah.
So it's every Thursday at midnight. When I first started listening to the show, I think most people don't notice that. And my friend,
it's just a guy doing a thing.
Oh, God. This is not honoring the vision.
Yeah, you have been on the periphery of this show for a long time.
Yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's a point where, you know, it's same with sometimes what I do. It's like you get to this point where you're putting out enough of your expression to sort of create the art and make the point through the art. And then one day you're like an anarchist to an ideologue.
Mm. Yeah, right. I thought, wow, it's amazing how this show is not even edited. Usually less obviously. It is one person, John Lidecker. It's an interesting distinction that people don't necessarily make. His performance name is Wobbly. He took over after Don died.
But look at me. I don't fit into your paradigm. I'm free.
Interesting.
Because hours.
Hours. I mean, to do two shows for all this time.
Oh, yeah, man. He's the best. He was a fan of the show, and then he sent me a bunch of this stuff. Or things that are art, which was sort of an art.
I don't hear any edits, because I've been doing, you know, audio editing a great deal of my life.
Yeah. And tell the people just how much time that can take.
Oh. I mean, yeah.
And there was nothing about it that was meant for on my head and on what was possible. So its very existence was a reflection and a pushback on that.
But I am in awe of you, Loops.
And
yeah. And I live for the perfect splice. I live for the crossfade. I live for the tape machine as an instrument, very much to hide the glitch.
But it was audio. That's crazy.
Oh, God.
Crazy. I guess they're expecting something.
Yeah.
But the fact is that it has legs, and it is not dated.
Yeah.
And in that, you know, some of it precedes, you know, in the spirit of sort of not nostalgia, but honoring analog and honoring the past and honoring the integrity of what these original pieces have, or at least were happening simultaneously for different reasons. It was a layered performance. I'm not saying it had intent, but it did. There was intention there.
Totally.
Right? Who hasn't been to that kind of party?
Right.
Sure.
Inevitably, that's what you want to come back to.
Everybody is their own brand, who have no problems with pushing other brands through their brand. That's the whole game now.
Right.
It wasn't about being commercial. It was about, you know, making a stand or being abstract or absurdist, you know, in relation to and in response to mediocrity, consumer culture, religion, politics, or media in general, commercial consumerism, status quo of whatever. It was almost like this cacophony of noise, and a lot of the audience was sort of the local kind of, you know, there was one guy walking around out there. And this was
very much in the same mindset.
That's right. There was a radical idea to doing this and to planting these messages. You know, somebody had to turn you on to it. There were two of them.
Thank you. Wow, never made that connection. This is why I came on this show.
The curiosity, you know, will go away eventually. Instead of looking at it as nostalgia, you know, look at it as the building blocks of your sense of self.
Yeah. You know, and that's where I think it kind of fails. That's where I think that the legacy is sort of a shame. The things that you don't necessarily perceive are sometimes the key to an emotional experience.
What the artist intended, no matter what you think.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, that's fair, yeah.
So culture jamming was a thing, sound layering and noise and consumer culture.
Yeah. Not so.
Yeah.
I mean, that was not true.
Sorry. That was very curious to me.
It has no relation to the art.
And they were in surgical scrubs.
It has no relation to how it was made. It's just the state that it happens to be in now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it's a similar zone.
Totally similar zone. But
changed my life. Yeah.
Right? It's a correction. And now it's like, well, these tools are on the desktop. I can make this so much better.
Yeah.
Let's do that. And everyone gets excited, and that's fine.
And they're kind of off.
It's still on. Is yeah. that
if not with us, artists and weirdos who are just like, no, oh, God, no.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
It's interesting.
Right. Right.
But, you know, it's not well produced necessarily, or if it was produced, it was produced within the little world that they were in. So there's no real integrity on the level of what determines, you know, what real art is, art with purpose, art with a socially active purpose. It just, it doesn't, I don't believe, it does exist to a certain point, but only in clips driven by influencers of one kind or another, kind of delivered in the context of whatever platform expectations there are in order for them to get their grift going. And this place where we are exists if you want to make the journey so you can feel a sense of freedom.
Now, you get into a rhythm when you start doing audio editing or any kind of editing,
yeah.
of course, you know, and you find your flow.
Yeah.
You know your tricks.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to nose thumb because they had money.
And just your own poetics, you know, kind of took it down.
Yeah. A better tape to accentuate a dialogue editor.
It became sort of like, what does this guy want?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I left in 11th grade.
Well, that's good because, you know, then
was
you
awesome.
Have full control and fully actualized ability to express yourself in, yeah. the, in the way that you were totally confident in. Whereas I am too, but it's just charm based.
But we all need, right, yes.
Yeah, so
57 last week. I am the tragic. I'm the tragic. And yet look what happened.
No, but I think ultimately, and I think you know from listening to this show,
yeah, yeah. So that's how that happened.
And then,
I am the result of your parasocial relationship with your fans. And it took me a long time to realize that these shows were edited.
You know, I started to realize that the idea of culture jamming, which was a real thing, whereas is like you're going to create, you know, media that's going to infect the broader media almost as a virus to reveal the truth of its impact and domination on our consciousness. Right?
Well said. Sure. Sure.
And that there were artists that would do this stuff. And I still really don't. And when it was a smaller media landscape,
yes,
it sometimes was possible.
That's a huge distinction, I think.
But what I realized this morning is that culture jamming, the impact now, because when you listen to it, into the way that you layer sort of rhythm in almost a hypnotic way with found footage, audio footage,
yeah.
and things that you're saying and bits and pieces of writing, and even on the last record, me.
Because you're so good. The thing is, they gave permission, I think, I'll just speak personally.
Yeah.
They gave me permission at a really young age to be anonymous.
Of the media, right?
Certainly.
Because of engagement and the way life works now, is that the impact of culture jamming, it happens inside you.
Yeah, and it's also completely 100% mainstreamed, and it is culture. Culture jamming is culture, is advertising, is everything now.
But to reveal the truth of what you're trying to do, dismantle, yeah. you know, media's power and control on every level. Like, I had an internal experience with it, and I realized that, you know, our brains are so integrated into it now that the revelation is not going to come outside you.
Yeah.
The, you know, that it's yeah, yeah. going to be an indictment of your engagement.
I didn't understand how that music was being made.
You're just lowering the bar because people will adapt.
Oh, I love that show. And one thing led to another, find the record. And, you know, it's, yeah.
And stuff like they just say, don't trust the algorithm.
Yeah, right.
That I was listening to what was going on the last record. And then the resentment happened. And I'm like, I'm not even going to listen to these records. And then, right?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's true.
So it still works.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm sure the audience for it is limited.
Well, I think the audience is limited contemporaries.
But so how do you get from the process?
There's nothing to see here. This is a radio show. And I assume it still happens. Is that you're not really, you don't necessarily bring in a lot of instruments. You're bringing in tape sources and, you know, whatever. But
right.
So go inside your head. And people actually did.
Active parts.
It was totally insane.
Either, you know, passively or not, but actually not passively.
For 2 hours, they would sit there with the... And we gave his...
Did he sign off on that?
He was dead.
I know, but you didn't discuss it before?
No. This idea came up not long after he died.
Okay.
That is the way we... That's what social media essentially is,
right,
on a certain level, right?
But that's a corporate space. So on the basis of this, and this may be an intellectual point, that, you know, you're creating stuff... to, you know, specifically, you know, to honor the construct or the context of the social media platform, right? So the free thinking part of it,
yeah,
or the external art part of it is no longer operative.
Right.
And you're, because it's like that song that you sampled me on, that it's all content.
Right.
And that if you want to make content that has traction, you have to honor the algorithm's appetite.
Yes.
So the freedom of thinking and the freedom of expression is tragically limited to that context.
Yeah, because it was a radio show, physically, as is being,
you know, audio.
It's an accepted part of the discourse to be commenting on something and chopping it up into pieces one way or the other. Like, I suggested we take his ashes and then we tape fragments.
Right.
And then we went all the way with that idea.
Yeah.
But art was a... kind of an afterthought,
yeah.
you know, and just they needed someone else, you know, and
yeah.
just
that where that. you know, you don't have a narrator,
you just
have found pieces and you put them together for montage effect.
Well, did you see John and Yoko 1-to-1?
No,
dude, you know, absolutely nothing.
And yeah.
I mean, like literally ludicrous, absolutely Dadaist
sure.
ideas.
Yeah.
And, cause he, you know, sure. He didn't sign off on it. It sort of like all came full circle for me when we did that. But nobody from his internal circle, of which was very small, pushed back on that idea.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, it's really interesting to handle the legal responsibility, and it just became this disgusting kerfuffle.
Well, yeah. that was that time, dude, where this is all that kind of... You know, there was a point in the alt
right.
world mm-hmm. where, you know, found footage and morbid fascination drove this sort of underground video barter world.
Like, well, it eventually
percussion.
It became that.
Yeah.
You know, tape edits on quarter-inch tape.
When you were how old?
After one of the early members and critical members, Don Joyce, when he died. I mean...
Yeah. Well, it's finite, but... but, yeah,
Soul
so...
time.
And,
Jimi Hendrix's penis caught fire and elevated my head. But he did a broadcast pretty much all the way up until he was hospitalized.
Yeah.
Anyway, I listened to Over the Edge like a lot of my weirdest friends around 1986, 7.
Yeah.
And it's edited in such a way, Don so brilliantly edited it, so that it kind of sounds like he's going after you too, but he really isn't.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just this little sleight of hand.
We want you to listen to our noise because we think you suck.
Okay. Or I don't know if we think you suck. I think I push against that. I mean,
chew gum, chew, chew, gum, chew, gum, right. gum, chew, gum, chew, chew, gum.
Oh, that one went deep for you. Yeah, I could tell. Absolutely. They did care what people thought.
But
well, that's pretty different. It's the way it's supposed to be. Therefore, to make art.
Yeah.
Which is extremely pointless to that.
And put the listener in the position of having a hallucinatory experience through audio that would reveal their part in it.
And can I just say thank you?
Why? Because I don't look good?
You know, I'm the one that has, I guess, had to tell you this. Use this material to make your own object.
But it just becomes a relic.
It becomes a relic. It's not necessarily their intent anymore.
Yeah.
And
because I'm on that.
Kind of, sort of. I think he would have really appreciated it. But,
you know, that can be a lonely place, obviously.
Yes. Yeah, there's inevitable crossover.
Yeah.
That's a controversy. That was edited after I split.
That was a big one.
That disturbs me to this day.
Because, like, you know, my good friend is... But, like, you know, I was always sort of fascinated with it. But, again, for me, it happened in a pure space. I had no context for it. I was just sort of like...
Don died pretty suddenly. I mean, he'd been sick.
No, but, how do you take it in?
Okay, well... Well, I wasn't there, so I mean, what am I?
Yeah, yeah. I know. But the truth is like, you know, you can't diminish 20 years.
Well, that show has been on since 1981 or late 80. One of the people in the band had a, if not a trust fund, he had some kind of, you know, line.
And authoritarian momentum is consciously trying to erase the past.
There's that.
And, no. Of active engagement in satirical music.
No. No. It's, yeah. It's the goofiest.
Well, and the fact that that's become the dominant sort of entertainment structure.
Right.
You know, but then it gets absorbed. You know, it puts you as the listener, you know, in the hot seat.
Yes.
And if you let it happen, you can, you know, reassess in a very real way your part in it, and also how these things that dominate our consciousness
is, it's, I don't get it.
Yeah.
And sometimes we were actually specifically kind of didactic about that. We try not to be didactic. It's
overshadowed.
Like, it's overshadowed the work itself. And because this is a diversion, but you want to listen to something, you want to have it in your world.
Yeah.
So a lot of us who grew up in the Bay Area, it was a very, very important part of my life. Yeah. Yeah. We were a generation after who were, you know, radio weirdos and just like flipping through the channels.
Yeah.
If you were up late, you would come across this collage show. So Don would play with certain lenses, which was like what the Firesign Theater was doing in the 60s, only I would argue denser and further out because of the level of tape manipulation and
a sort of insulated but important little world.
Highly insulated. Yep.
Where everybody was idealistic and freaks.
Right.
Who are you doing this for?
Yeah, right.
Five people?
Right.
Is that satisfying?
Right.
It's interesting to me, you know, as I get older and you think about, you know, what is the remaining audience for these things that were important to us when we were younger, and it's just old guys.
Oh. There's all kinds of arguments you can make in those areas.
Yeah.
It was a brazen, like, you know, thumb nose.
Yeah.
To a degree. But
okay, so it was like, because the original model for that in terms of the freaks was the acid test.
Yes.
So then, you know, you realize that you can, you know, build your zone and trip out.
Yeah.
Know?
That's just a meditation on like advertising and bad ideas, but inside it actually has a thing that says that the ashes were settling.
Yeah.
Most of the time when we did the show as a group, we had people who are sitting on a mic like this.
Yeah. The depth of the work is important. You can churn out garbage and people will adapt to it.
Yes.
And just return it to the garbage. But when something has a depth of process and intention, that the power of it is transcendent, you know, for those who are willing to engage with it.
Yeah. I think that's well said.
Good.
Well said. And I think about them a lot because of their anonymous stance.
The eyeballs there.
Okay.
Yeah.
He used words like that.
Yeah.
He's like, this is how it was seen on the show. And it, nothing happened.
You right.
Know, that was Don's instrument, was playing cart. So it's like, and in the end, it was like, it was bad. It was, and of course, it failed, right?
Right.
I mean, it failed. We, geez, did I say that? Please,
you know.
No.
Yeah. You know, not as, you know, Geisen and Burroughs
right.
conceived of it.
You're taking liberties because all it does is use historical footage as a narrative.
But the montage effect of found, you know, when you use found footage in montage, you do are able to transcend time and space to create a narrative without a narrator, and it's great.
Yeah, and you could argue Burroughs did that too, though.
Sure.
I mean, Burroughs took it to a different extreme.
Well, his idea was that, you know, if you take data and cut it up and then rearrange it, that you're actually time traveling somehow.
Yeah.
Because of the poetry of it.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, it's kind of, it is provocative.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. There's a bunch of us in the Bay Area who have done shows.
Yeah.
No, we all kind of, a lot of us swim in the same water.
Yeah.
And in
through found footage,
I know this can be made better.
And yeah, you know,
but was that way like, oh, this is just this
right.
This is a this is a porno distributor.
Right.
And then that it was gone.
Yeah.
So when I came along, the negative had been physically re-spliced into the softcore version.
Yeah. What was the seed of the obsession though?
Yeah, well, you're a radio guy. You remember the carts?
Yeah.
We would go on tour and he would have like, let's say at least 100, 150 individual carts of individual samples that were labeled, that were specific to the narrative, and he would just jockey those carts.
Wow.
The whole show. It was sure. It made for a great show. Like, you could watch the guy, like, you know,
it's a different type of DJing.
Absolutely it is.
Yeah.
It's 100% DJing, and he kept using those pretty much until he died.
Does this predate two turntables and a microphone?
It's along the same.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Well, it's interesting, too, about the cut-up method in general.
Once it's glued and spliced, you can't really take it apart and recut it without losing frames.
Right.
But in this particular case, they used a compromised thing to start with,
sure,
pretending that that's like how it was. It's
like,
not how it was.
It's like using, you know, CDs as a source for vinyl reissues.
100%.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't know. I can't remember the number, but I think the record's better than that. But it's honoring someone's idea of like, oh, well, this has never had a digital step by like, that's kind of what started it. And I just never really wanted to stop doing that.
And it must have been an obsession.
Oh, deep.
And you know, why that happened, I don't know.
You hope so.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, me, go have fun.
Yeah.
You inevitably lose a frame at every single cut.
To elevate certain elements of it.
But that's what drove it. And I just haven't stopped.
Yeah. But, you know, outside of technology,
like, there has got to be a better master to be derived from this. Long story. As format fetishists.
Yeah.
I mean, here's my favorite example of this.
The paragraph.
It's genius.
It's genius.
But I just think there's something there. I think there's like a lot of intangibles to this kind of work that people don't perceive on a surface level.
Yeah.
But you can't see. I got into this because of like, I have this weird like innate sense of justice.
Uh-huh.
It's this weird sense of justice where it's like, I want the truth to be told, but I'm not on the spectrum about it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not focusing on one part and saying, this is exactly the way it has to be.
Yeah.
That's not right.
You know?
Like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
But you know.
But this is a completely engaging and exciting process. It's like bringing Frankenstein to life.
Right.
But it's rooted in something deliberate that doesn't need explanation, because
exactly
the magic of it is been sort of revived.
Yeah, or it adds up to an emotional response.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, it just gives you
something.
And you don't know why.
It's good because, and I think this goes along with what I said before, is that the decision was made by the artist to do it this way.
Right.
And you have to honor that, and that's what you know.
Yeah, but it's like, why not? I mean, if the original is there.
No, no. What I'm saying is that, like, it's an interesting entertainment to see these decisions made way in post.
The flight controller crosstalk.
We don't keep it all in our head, although I'll have some in the spacecraft on the instrument panel, which I can relay to Dave, and he's going to have some of his own along.
I mean, how do you remember all these things? Or is Neil checking on you to make sure that you have a list?
As experts go.
Right?
Well, let's see.
It's hard to close sometimes. I think we're all fairly confident about being able to close this hatch without a great deal of problems at all.
So we don't expect anything higher than that. This was considerably higher than they were when the four crew practiced with.
How much time is involved in each of those?
Well, we're not going to decide ahead of time at just what time. It's our feeling that the best approach is to start it at a particular time and then take whatever time it takes to to do the job.
There are certain limitations in the equipment itself, yes. Those are the kind of limits that are basically what we follow. So that we always have enough reserve and enough capability to complete the job.
I think that's it, gentlemen. Zulu time. Although I don't have any confirmation on that. Excuse me. Yes, probably the second one has gone off by this time. The normal post-mission examination. We have listened to the tapes just as you have, and we are still awaiting the tape data and the spacecraft data to be returned here to Houston, where the engineers can analyze it and determine just what the sequence of events was and what caused it.
One of the reasons for not releasing the tape was a high voice level. Now, I didn't hear a high voice level on these tapes. What were you referring to?
If I said high, it was erroneous. I said the voice level was, I meant to say the voice level was important.
Just to follow up, I didn't hear any indication in the voice level that would suggest that there was any strong emotion being displayed in the voice. Was that what you meant last night?
No, that's not what I meant, but if that's what you meant, that's perfectly all right with me. I'd like to say that we appreciate your forbearance in the release of the tapes. As we said last night, we believe that they would be released. Now they have been released.
We, at this point in time, have not seen the tapes, which, of course, good engineers don't ever do. We're waiting till we see all of the data.
Ben.
What portions were deleted? I think really what I'm looking for is some reassurance that no sections pertinent to technical information were cut from the tapes that we've heard.
Well, the point I wanted to make, absolutely nothing was deleted. In fact, we went the other route and added the flight controller to crosstalk between passes.
Finally, the trouble seems to have started when the recorder was turned on, and he wants to know, could this possibly have started the sequence of troublous events?
We're data overpowering the control system. The spacecraft authority went wild.
Instead of turning on the tape recorder, do you have any further readout on that?
How many different ways are there to say we can't speculate? I'd like to enumerate them and simply punch them up.
As far as I understood the tape, which again is all the data we have, I believe worked properly all the way through.
Right here.
That, I think, as the tapes gyrating wildly, just from listening to the tapes, we would have to look at the tapes.
These tapes started with a report tape prior to this that we did not hear.
No, you heard the tape immediately prior to that, which was commands, and if such and such happens, do this. And the first word, I think, is we show them free. Undocked, yeah.
The astronaut speculated, as you heard on the tape, and again, when we look at the
things damped out. Pete.
There's a big gap in communications. I was just wondering how they were using the word wild at that time.
Could either of you gentlemen give us some idea of the decisions that led to calling a news conference today rather than just releasing the tapes?
You just have received every bit of information that we have. Good engineers don't speculate unless they have data. I am a good engineer, I think, and I refuse to speculate until I know.
Mr. Schneider, you did have a little bit of extra information in a tape dump over Hawaii.
That was an effect, not a cause. And just as you have heard a lot of things here, any one of them could be an effect and not the cause. And we wish to determine what the cause is before we point fingers at anything.
Well, our problem seems to be, Mr. Schneider, that we can't even get, in many cases, a cause from an effect. That seems to be the gist of the question.
We've been told we've heard all the tapes, and I have no reason to believe otherwise. But do you honestly think there's anything in these tapes that would warrant you holding it up for this many hours? And if so, I'd like to know what you think this is.
We wanted to hear them. We wanted time for to listen to them. Obviously, when we heard them last night, it was under most trying circumstances. We did not know what engineering information we might be able to get out of them. We did spend the night in listening to them. We determined quite the opposite. We could not do that. And, of course, they weren't made available.
When will you have your data tapes back?
Which tapes? Onboard tape. We ought to have all of the tapes back.
If you apparently lost no tapes at all and no telemetry.
We do have our systems instrumented to the best of our ability, and we do hope that we have all of the information necessary. At this point in time, we haven't seen the tapes yet.
We do have a question. Stand by, please. What do you mean by something else? An enemy laser beam or a bunch of frogs plugging thruster holes? That is the phrase "something else," which is unrelated to the spacecraft. There's been so much discussion of the tape. Could you in any way quantify this as to how much tape from the tape in the way of the various tapes?
By amount of tape, we expect the quality. We have no reason to expect that the quality will be any the less than it was on all the previous missions.
Of course, we have had we've had difficulties with onboard recorders, as we did in 6. We lost some tape.
Correct.
In 5th?
I'm afraid I do not know. Unless it's in your press kit.
We got a 411. I don't recall him asking that. I think it was 041, which was the turn on the recorder command.
What does the 041 command do?
It turns on data recorder in the Agena.
What does the 4-1 command do?
There is no such animal.
How about 401?
Would you believe? There's no 4. Is there a 401 out? Is there a 401? Okay. 401 turns ACS on.
I didn't hear the answer, Paul. Would you answer again, please?
401 turns ACS on. Actually, to try to figure out what I'd heard, and I made several trips, which is why primarily I sounded a little breathless, I'm afraid, in the first announcement. It's like doing the Harvard step test or something to go up and down there. Is that a question or a statement or what?
Hi.
How's it going? Something hit the satellite.
Everything is going extremely well.
Mostly by myself.
I'm live. Mm-hmm. I'm live at Seoul, South Africa.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm live.
The producer objects to that.
What do you think about the Larry King show?
Hey, wait a minute.
Okay, wait a minute. The producer objects to that. Okay.
Faster, louder, faster, louder, faster, louder, faster, louder, faster, louder, faster, louder, louder, faster, louder, faster, louder, faster, louder, faster, louder, faster, louder. I'd like to start with that. I don't know. I was busy trying to figure out the smartest way to talk to you.
Well, actually, maybe if you're looking for a short, peppy answer to what is Negative Land.
How do you know?
Slightly rephrase that question then.
Where is Negative Land?
How do you know?
Well,
Seoul, South Africa. What's all this got to do with Aurora?
I will make a note of that question.
Don't play it backwards, John.
Something about rock and roll.
How do you know?
We hope it isn't going too far in that direction.
Well, let me slightly rephrase that question then.
What is
Negative Land?
Negative Land.
I don't know. 3 or 4 or 5 sentences. You know, less than a minute's worth of talk. Through dubbing and redubbing and editing and redubbing and editing and re-editing. Constantly redundant and repeating, re-editing, redubbing and editing and re-editing, dubbing and editing and re-editing. The whole sentence is quite surreal and constantly redundant and repeating and repeating. That little bit of conversation is made into quite a lengthy constantly redundant and repeating and ridiculous conversation.
Well, that last sentence was certainly short and peppy. Most of your work seems to be chewing up the media and kind of spitting it back at itself.
Chewing up and spitting out. Chewing up, spitting out.
Chewing and spitting, chewing and kind of spitting.
The piece starts out with the broadcast as it was broadcast, and then later on, elements of that broadcast are rebuilt.
Okay, I've just played it.
Now I'm going to ask the question you just answered.
So don't answer it again.
What's this piece made out of?
Later in the piece, the broadcast reappears, only it's all wrong.
Hey, wait a minute, the producer objects to that.
Okay, wait a minute, the producer objects to that.
Let me say that again.
Don't answer it again.
There's a hidden agenda.
Rockin' what?
This is what we think you ought to think about what he said.
That's right.
Gary, Nora.
Don't worry. There's a possible outro.
Just remember, the more you get, the more work it's going to be trying to figure out what to do with it.
Now, we have staff to handle that.
Okay. Shall I keep talking?
I don't care.
You know, it's often been said, if you give them enough rope, they'll hang themselves.
And there is a lot of soul in South Africa.
We've been temporarily cut off from the satellite, but we're awaiting a reconnection with San Francisco.